B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz. Our quick little Patriots reset relates to something these guys saw on Instagram. Like, I thought it was something you guys were hearing, like Jimmy's phone or Maz's.
It's sort of both.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's more than just Instagram.
Because Maz has got intel from this dude before, as have I, but he's got a big Instagram presence.
But did this... So I'm confused. Did he just post this on Instagram and everyone can see it, or was specific information just for you?
No, he posted this on Instagram.
Yeah, and then let us know that he posted it so we could promote it.
So, but why are we treating this like some sort of exclusive information?
Because this,
because it's like exclusive to you, because you don't live on the internet like Maz and I. You're certainly not on Instagram, so this is like breaking news to you.
Oh, no, yeah, it is to me, but how about...
And half of the jackasses in their cars out there don't go on Twitter either, or Instagram, because they're our age.
I've been selling it like we have information. It turns out everybody has this information.
Well... No, not quite everybody, yeah, but most people.
I don't know if like the older demographic.
Exactly. It's sort of my point. So we're going to pitch it as scoops to them.
We have an old breaking news sounder for the olds.
Oh, I like that.
I feel a new bit coming. This just in.
Breaking news from over the wire. Mac Jones impressed early with the rookie minicamp. Stop.
So, but that's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the Spike King, give credit where it's due. The Spike King's got a big Instagram presence again. Maz is, you've done like his Instagram show. He's given us good scoops before. He put out both on Twitter and Instagram over the weekend. Mac Jones has impressed early with the rookie minicamp. First impression with players and coaches is really good. Looks in much better shape. And I don't know who the quote is supposed to be attributed to, but probably somebody he talked to. He writes in quotes, "He's calm, listens intently, and moves deliberately. He was well coached before," end quote. And he had something else to follow up here, which you referenced, Maz, earlier, talking about how he wasn't throwing. He writes, "Yesterday we got our first look at the rookies when the Patriots dropped some photos. The minicamp closed to media. I was asked to get some intel on how Mac was throwing the ball. I was told not one ball was thrown at all, just footwork and pacing."
But he looks great. Yeah, I would say what?
Yeah, yeah, Felger, he's a good listener. He listens just like Brady.
I mean, Jesus, like that's what we're going to base that on?
Well, I will say this, based on some of the photos that have that are floating out there with him working with Josh McDaniels, he does look like he's a little bit leaner.
Yeah, he doesn't look nearly as chubby.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed, you see the photo, Murray, of him handing the ball off or simulating the handoff at the very least? He's got long arms.
Yeah.
Like his arms look long. And, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at him at a bad angle or something, but maybe he plays taller than he really is.
Okay. There's that. Boy, we're really reaching and hoping.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, we're reaching.
We're just projecting.
It speaks to the desperation of three men who don't want to watch Cam Newton anymore.
I mean, it looks to me like he already gives a better handoff than you. Seriously.
All right. Did you follow that up with any other intel, Maz? Because you're sort of intimating here that it's not just the Spike King here that you're
no,
drawing
no, most
from.
Of it. Most of it originated with Spike. So I'm not going to lie to you on that. Again, I wasn't sure how much of that he had put out there and how much of it he had sent in direct messages. But look, I'm not joking. This guy's had pretty good info along the way. I think he's pretty accurate. So now, you know, most people aren't 100%. I don't know if he's 100%, but his info's been pretty good.
Okay. And so I was railing earlier. Did you want to just finish?
No.
I'm sorry. So I was railing earlier that the Patriots closed their rookie minicamp. So, like, for example, all these other teams, I think this is a picture of Trey Lance in his Niners uniform from the weekend, from the Niners rookie minicamp. I think that's Trey Lance right there that I'm looking at right now on the front of the ESPN.com homepage. Zach Wilson was all over the place. There's pictures of...
There's video of Justin Fields with the Bears yucking it up and having a time.
But here in New England, nope. But we're too important and we're too...
it's closed off. It's the Hermit Kingdom. It's like North Korea down there.
So, exactly. So we're closed to the media, which I just think is so asinine since you now suck. We were informed that they've actually closed this rookie camp since 06, to which I still say, I don't care. It's one thing if you're winning Super Bowls and you can do whatever the hell you want, which has been proven, right? But when you suck, why are you carrying on like this? You know, why don't you throw your fans a little bone and let's see a picture of the kid in the Patriots uniform throwing some balls, or like let the reporters sit up on the hill and tell us how he's throwing the ball if they're actually throwing. And I just think it's so annoying that they don't.
I mean, yes, again, especially now, as you noted, like, you know, they're building up some of the hype here with these young guys, particularly the quarterback, is important. And I know Bill's not in the interest of hype, but I bet you the owner is.
I just think, like, my God, hey, you're still going to carry yourself like this. Last year really hasn't left a mark, has it? You're just carrying yourself like you've won 6 Super Bowls and you're still this team. I just want to remind you, you're not. You suck. So, you know, a little, just a little humility, a little coming off your perch there, just a little bit.
I mean, it's the first time they've drafted a quarterback in the first round in 30 years. Open it up.
They can't bring you out here. You have a competitive disadvantage bringing you out here and sitting you on the hill, sitting Bedard's big butt up on the hill so he can watch Mac Jones from 200 yards away with his binoculars. That's really going to put him behind the eight ball when they get out there week one against Miami.
I wonder if the Patriots have someone with a camera watching other teams practice.
finally, Kraft, I love it. Really tiny, subtle little dig at Bill Belichick, which I think Belichick so richly needs because there's no one there to tweak him. Kraft, in his own way, sends him just a little tiny tweak, a little goose, right where it hurts Bill the most. Bill, who's so sensitive about his contract and so secretive about what he makes or what he's signed for and so strict about what people are allowed to say about it or who's allowed to even know about it. Oh, always been a third rail for Bill. What he makes. Oh, don't ask him what he makes. On the record, off the record, don't go there, man. Robert Kraft is stopped by TMZ, just the guys to get the answer, on the street in L.A. about what he thinks about Brady coming back, about Mac Jones, Cam Newton. We cut off the first half. The sound isn't great, but at the end, you get the gist of it. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Mac Jones. What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
I'm excited to have him, but I'm excited to have him.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Just see him out there.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
Well, let Bill. I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
I pay Bill a lot of money. Let him decide. That's where Kraft can just give him a little something.
Oh, he's letting you know who's still boss at one Patriot place, and rightfully so, after that dud of a season last year and bringing in Cam Newton. Might be a tough decision. You've got this guy who's a former MVP, but we've now drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time ever, so don't screw it up, Bill. I'm paying you a lot of money.
Not to mention all the free agents I had to bring in because your drafts have sucked.
Exactly. Put stakes on it. It puts stakes on it, meaning, you know, Bill, I pay you a lot of money so we don't have to do these things like spend through the nose in free agency or have no quarterback or whatever. So I'm just reminding you and everybody else, you make a crap ton of money. So let's see you get it right. And that's like, I'm glad Kraft does that. It's very subtle, but I like it.
Hell yeah. Tweak him every chance you get. And I would say good. Like, again, to tweak anybody that you can right now. That team needs to be tweaked. They need a kick in the ass.
But another thing comes out there that I've neglected to mention the first time. You know, the first question is about Mac Jones. And Robert Kraft makes sure to say, well, I like Cam Newton too. So there's still this thing down there to prop up Cam Newton and keep Cam Newton happy. And again, as Bedard and others will tell you, but Bedard's been big on this. The reason Bill was so dour on draft night and so dismissive, maybe too strong of a word, but you know what I mean, about Mac Jones is because they're afraid to upset Cam Newton. And they're walking still on eggshells with Cam Newton and wanting to prop up Cam Newton or do right by Cam Newton. And that extends to the owner, apparently. Because when he's asked about Mac Jones, he immediately says, well, I like Cam Newton, too. So, like, that's annoying. That thing, we're still on this campaign to kiss Cam Newton's ass.
For now. I mean, so again, like what, you know, if you're them, I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I don't like it either. But if you're them, why stir that now?
Well, what are you stirring if a guy on TMZ on the street in L.A. says, how do you like Mac Jones? I love him. Next question.
Oh, you don't think we'd turn that into something?
Oh, I like Cam Newton, too. Well, I mean, it's obvious they drafted the next guy to be the next guy. Why are they afraid to say it?
Because they don't want to piss off Cam.
Why?
Yet.
Why?
Because they need him at the beginning of the year.
And they've also played up this narrative that he didn't get a fair shot at it last year for the last year. So they're going to still play into that.
Oh, it's such garbage. Seriously. Please. But I like the Barnwell story on ESPN that Murray found earlier that says that Jones can be playing by week 5.
Okay, but is that like informed? No.
It's just.
When does that ever stop?
Yeah,
us?
Right. Yeah. Are you anti-takes?
We're going to have standards
now?
Today
yeah.
now? Yeah, right. All of a sudden you're questioning the Spike King.
I'm sorry.
You want to know if Bill Barnwell's informed?
I take it all back. I take it all back. What I mean is it wasn't a report. It's like,
no.
According to sources, Mac Jones. No, it wasn't like that.
It was an opinion.
It was a projection. Which is fine too. But either way, just remember, Robert pays Bill a lot of money. So it's his call, and we'll see if he gets it right. Because remember, Bill, I pay you a lot of money. Did I mention that? So that's just, again, that puts a little bit of stakes to it. Because if you F it up, I don't have to pay you a lot of money. And that's not putting his job on the line, but it's reminding everyone of your salary, which is a step in that direction anyway.
Do you think his kids are making 15 grand? Like the guys who come out of college, or you think they're getting more dough?
Well, the thing is, you can divert in different ways. I mean, the paycheck from the Patriots may say one thing. What about the paycheck from dad?
Well, so that's true.
Or there's other, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure he took a pay cut to give the money to his kids.
Nick in the car on Mac Jones. What do you got, Nick?
Hey guys, I just got out of work and heard you guys say you're grasping at straws for something positive, blah, blah, blah. I was reading on Twitter. I'm an old guy, but I'm on Twitter. And there was an article. His deep ball percentage throughout his career was 58%. And they gave, like, for reference, Joe Burrow was like 42. Tua was like 30-something. And Fields was the closest one to him, but it wasn't even close. So just giving you a little something, maybe he is something. Who knows?
Okay, maybe he is something. Who knows? I hope we get to find out.
Yeah, you know what my theory on that is? Because his receivers were 10 yards in front of everybody.
That's, you know, let's not quibble over the details. We want this kid to play.
Yeah, and define deep throw.
Yeah, 15 yards down the field.
Again, his receivers. So look, maybe he throws a good deep ball. I don't know. We'll see. Like, but all I'm saying with regard to Mac Jones at rookie minicamp is that it feels like it's off to a solid start. Solid.
According to our sources. Back to your
listening well.
Back to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Miller shoots, blocked, rebound far side. Oh, that knocked down Dillon. He's limping to get back into the play. Wilson brings it across on right
wing. Four-man rush.
High slot, it's fired, and they score! I think Dowd may have gotten it. It was a shot at the right point that trickled through Raskin in. And the Capitals take game one, 3-2 in overtime.
Well, just one timer after the blue line there. I think it was going over my head or at my head or something, and then hit a stick, hit my chest, and somehow end up in the net. I think I probably bumped it into my own net or something. I didn't really see the replay, but that's what I would guess.
How it ended Saturday night. We'll see what we got in store tonight. Game two here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Puck drop at 7:30. Dunkin' Donuts pregame at 7. Get back to your phones on this and whatever you want here on a reentry Monday. John in Westboro. Hi, John.
How's it going, guys? I just wanted to stop all this doom and gloom talk about the Bruins tonight. I really think all the issues with the game on Saturday were fixable issues, not getting shots on net, making the extra pass that wasn't needed. I think tonight we come out, the top two lines are going to bring the heat, and we're going to blow them out tonight. I'm thinking 4-1, 5-2. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. Can't wait to see it. Let's go, Bruins.
Okay, John.
Yeah.
Here's Ernie in Watertown. Go ahead, Ernie.
Yeah, hi, Mike. First of all, I just want to let you know, I still get the Boston Globe.
Okay? Attaboy.
So I feel what you're saying, you know, the actual newspaper. But I called the other day on Ovechkin, Mike. I told you he was going to get hot. He was overdue, okay? He set an example for that team in that locker room. He's doing something in that locker room. He came out hitting a couple of scoring chances. Second thing I want to mention, Rask has got to stay on his feet. Okay. That Maz, like Maz said, all the goals are going up over his shoulder. That second goal from the point tipped in up over Rask's shoulder. Now, if he stands up on that shot, does he make that save? I just want to get your point on that.
Yeah, it might be. Or a stand-up a guy who's, you know, they're all down on their knees now. Like, there is no such thing as a stand-up goaltender anymore. But a guy who's more on his feet, like, it feels to me like Swayman's more on his feet. And so he feels like he's bigger in the net. does that even go in? I don't know. It's just like, so you have those with Rask where it's like, and the Tom Wilson goal is another one. He sort of got small in that net, wasn't square, and got sort of shrunk in the net. And the way he played it was impossible to make the save. I don't blame him for not making the save there, but is there a different goalie that plays it differently, more aggressively, more stand-up? And then I'm still not telling you that's the problem with the team or why they lost. They've got to do more against a 40-year-old fourth-string goalie. Like, that's why they lost the game.
Yeah, that's the number one reason.
So, the Rask nitpicking is saying, well, now you got to win 2-1. And that's a tough ask every night. The Capitals
are especially against that team.
Exactly.
One of the better scoring teams in the league.
Capitals are too good to expect that.
I wouldn't expect Tuukka to stand up, by the way.
Right, exactly. Brandon in Boston, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So I want to talk about the Celtics playing into this tournament, right, the play-in tournament. I'm still confident that we're going to beat them. Let's talk about the 2017 NBA Eastern Conference Finals. When we had to play the Wizards and we beat them 4-3, that team right there was way more stacked up than the team that we're playing now.
Okay, I don't know how this is comparable, Brandon.
Tomorrow night I'm a Wizards fan, and then I'm either a Pacers or a Hornets fan. And here's what I want. Like, they lose tomorrow, and then the Celtics ending their season with a loss to either the Hornets or the Pacers, which would be what they deserve, and so perfect. Because it's one team Danny tried to fleece instead of improving his own team, and the other did him a favor by giving him a trade exception he wasn't entitled to. That's what they deserve. Because if they were to win one of these, and they did somehow upset the Sixers or Brooklyn, then they will really feel, hey, we don't need to make any changes.
They're going to lose both.
I hope you're right, Ness. I really do.
I'm not kidding. I think they're going to lose both. I do. They have no Jaylen Brown. Robert Williams is iffy, and even if he gets in there, how long is that going to last? Like, I don't see it. Kemba Walker, what? Is all of a sudden going to play two good games in a row at this stage of the year? I think their identity is defined. They are who they are. They don't fight. These other teams are happy to be in the playoffs. They're not.
Well, you just hit the key. The other teams give a crap.
Yes. I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose both.
Well,
I'm kind of rooting for it.
I think we all are. But tomorrow night is the one, I think, I think they get Polak's tomorrow. I can't see them losing to Indiana, Maz.
Russell Westbrook might have a triple-double in the first half tomorrow.
Brian in Florida. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just want to say I think we're going to look for a split up there in Washington. Usually that's what you look for. But I think that I think we got a good club, and I think we made a good trade when we did. And I think Tuukka's going to come through, and just it's one game. I don't think we should panic, and I think they're going to go out there. But what concerns me is this menace, this Wilson. I just hope he doesn't hurt somebody.
Yeah, Brian.
Somebody's career is over.
You should be more worried about how he can play, which is he can play. He's not just a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. He can play, and that's what makes him so dangerous. And he didn't involve. He didn't do any nonsense last night.
No,
Saturday night.
And going back to a couple of calls ago about Alex Ovechkin, like he had been banged up towards the end of the year, so I didn't expect him to look the way he did on Saturday. He was as good as he always is.
I mean, not that this matters, but was Wilson the number one star in that game?
No, I mean, do you think he was?
Didn't he get an assist on the overtime?
He should have.
Oh, I mean, like who technically was?
Yeah. I mean, that's why not that it matters, but he had 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been. I mean, now that you're saying it, you're right. I mean,
he had a goal and an assist. Assist on the overtime goal, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me if he was and again, I'm just, just for the sake of, he wasn't a complete stiff out there. He was pretty good in that game.
He can play. I'd be more worried about how he can play versus what, him hurting you. And all of that. And that's another thing that I think is overplayed by Bruins fans, that you have to match their physicality. You're not going to match their physicality. You're not. They're bigger than you. And when they play a certain way, they're just going to have you in that regard. That doesn't mean that they automatically win. The bigger team doesn't automatically win. Use your skill, the skill that you have. Don't miss the net 21 effing times on the night. So as big and physical as they were, you were still in position to put 21 more pucks on net and you missed the net. So start with that.
You see, I think tonight, look, the one thing I do feel good about with this team over the years, in the playoffs, they very rarely have 2 bad games in a row. Like, they usually come back and play better the next game when this happens. So I think you're going to get a better Bruins team tonight. Does that mean they're going to win? I don't know. I can't tell you that. I mean, what if the other goalie all of a sudden starts pulling pucks out of his rear end?
This is possible.
Like, who the hell knows? I couldn't begin to tell you, but I think they're going to play better tonight.
Evan in Braintree, hi.
Yeah, can we stop talking about exploiting Chara? He's barely on the ice, like you guys pointed out, and now we're going to mix up our lines to get matchups against him. I want to beat the Caps, win the Cup. I could give two poops if we exploit Chara. Thank you.
No, well, that's the point. I'm not saying, like, it's a personal thing against Chara. He's on their third pair. The whole point is getting your best offensive players out against their worst defensive players, and that's defined by your third pair. This is not a personal thing about I want to expose Chara. I want to expose his D partner, Jensen, there as badly. Jensen's on the third pair for a reason. So what happened in this game, and I was telling you, is that Laviolette got Ovechkin out there against your bottom three defense all night long. Ovechkin had the most minutes against Miller and Lozon. Okay? 11 minutes, 5-on-5 for both, just around 11 minutes against Lozon and Miller. So Laviolette was trying to get his best offensive players out against your third D pair, where Cassidy really didn't try. And it's apparently his thing. He doesn't chase matchups when you're on the road. You know, so, here it is. Ovechkin played 11 minutes against Lozon on Miller. Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron all played about a minute and a half against Chara.
And it was early, too.
And it was probably early.
That's when they picked. That's when Pastrnak almost had that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was early, and I think that maybe that's what, maybe that's partially what triggered it, is that Laviolette saw it and said, well, that's not going to happen again, because Chara did. He got picked early in that game, or unless it was, whatever. I think it was early.
And I think you can pick on Chara. You can expose him with skilled players, and that's your skilled line. So should Cassidy be doing more to get those guys out on the ice when Chara's there? I'm not trying to settle some score with Chara. I just think that might be a way to win.
Yes. So again, I don't know how you do that. It's harder to do on the road, but if there's an icing or something and, you know, they can't change and you can, then you do it. I mean, that's kind of obvious though, right? Like, but I'll tell you, even if it's the third and fourth lines, Mike, I'm still doing it. He's slow getting back there. We know that. His real value's on the penalty kill now. So if you dump it in his corner, make him go get it.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. But first, I want to remind you, this is a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Right, Murray?
That's right. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property or simply looking for a free checking account, why don't you visit ebsb.com? That's East Boston Savings Bank in your neighborhood since 1840.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dillon centers, and the pass didn't connect with Backstrom. Then Ovechkin came in and just buried David Krejci in the near circle. Along the near side, Mantha. Bruins driving up the near wall, trying to get it by Schultz.
Hitting anybody that's moving right now. Hit Backstrom on the early in that shift, and he was able to get to David Krejci. Krejci had his head down. Krejci also got closed on by Dillon over right in front of the Capitals bench. It led to that two-on-one going back the other way.
So that was the Krejci hit. We'll see. I was going to say if the Bruins can respond physically. They don't have to respond physically. I thought they responded fine the other night. Fine. Again, not great. They weren't the more physical team, but I don't think they need to be the more physical team. I thought they hung in there against a team that's bigger and will be more physical. Like, I don't know how they changed that. They're not going to put on 20 pounds across the board between games one and two. The Caps are bigger. When they decide to play like that, they're going to have more of the hits. That doesn't mean they have to win.
No, they don't need toughness. They need Xanax to, like, calm down.
Thank you.
That was their issue. Like, they were too tight.
21 missed nets. That's just that's not blocked shots. That's missing the effing net.
Correct. That's shot attempts that didn't hit anything.
You said that was the most since when?
2018.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, again, so, you know, 3 years. It's been 3 years since they missed the net that much. Okay. And Peverly wasn't even here then.
Wrap it up with your calls. David in Boca. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. The three stars, it was Dowd, Anderson, Dillon. And then the quick Celtic thing. I also want them to go to the lottery. And then speaking of the Bruins lines for tonight, I wish Tenorti was in there instead of Clifton. And then I wish Kuhlman was in there instead of Wagner. DeBrusk should have been bumped up to the third line. And Coyle should be centering that. And Corrali should be moving down.
Okay, so you're saying Coyle should be center. Coyle's been better on the wing than at center.
I don't mind that thought about DeBrusk being on the third line. The third line I thought was garbage the other night, too.
I'd leave him where he is.
Yeah, me too. He's producing down there.
Yeah, so whatever it is, the matchup's working, so stick with it.
Right, exactly.
In fact, I wouldn't do anything overly drastic if I were the Bruins other than just getting the puck to the net. I don't like Lozon missing this game, by the way.
So he's out, Clifton in. You lose some size there.
Yeah, so now look, Clifton's probably better at handling the puck than Lozon is, so maybe there's a game there. Maybe that's part of the logic.
And he's tough and feisty, but
he's small. Yeah, he's small. So look, Lozon came back into that game, though. So that thing must have ballooned up the next day or something.
Or maybe it's a combination of things because that pair was their worst pair.
Yeah, I looked it up during the game. It was the other hand that he broke during the year, right? This was his left hand. That was the right hand, whatever, vice, you know.
Yeah.
So either way, like when it happened, I went, oh, geez, here you go, broken hand. You're already losing a defenseman. But I don't know. He came back in. He looked okay after that. So I'm wondering maybe the thing just ballooned up.
Mike in Brooklyn. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to say Tuukka Rask yesterday made, I think it was in the third period, he went from right to left, and he stopped the one timer. But how he stopped it is that when he went from right to left, he came out of the crease like 5 feet and made an unbelievable stop. To me, that's a goalie that wants to win the game, that's in the game. And, you know, he gave it up in the overtime period, but, you know, that's sometimes how the cookie crumbles.
Yes, with him especially. Definitely. With him, that is how that cookie tends to crumble. Something like that in overtime. No, he was good in the game, and you still have a goaltending advantage. Let's see if that matters. Because in the past, it hasn't always mattered.
But, so, you know, the only way to make it matter is for the offense to put some pressure on
exactly,
the other guy.
Exactly. Yes, you've got to make the other guy. You got to expose the other guy. And your guy has to live up to his end of the bargain. So if that happens, and goaltending's that important, then, you know, it should be yours. Again, Craig Anderson. The last playoff game he played was the year they beat you in 2017.
Was that Ottawa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 years old, 2 starts this year. He's on their taxi squad most of the season. And the last playoff game was 4 flipping years ago. Okay. And you're going to miss the net 21 times against him. Here's just a suggestion. Let's see him make a few saves before you start, you know, trying to pick the corner and throw it in the mail slot. Like, let's see if the guy can move after 60 minutes.
Yeah, fire it at him and see if you get a rebound.
Who's their backup to Anderson?
Well, so, I mean, I think they said there was a chance it was going to be Samsonov, right? Didn't they say that? Oh, no, so the guy's name's Copley or something, too, right? Murray.
Whatever. So, I mean,
Murray was answering.
Okay, well, we have Google for this. We'll do this. Here, Brian in the truck. All right, I mean, in Natick, not the truck. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, we're good.
I hear a lot of people defending Tuukka Rask. I've watched, you know, hockey in my 60s. And in the old days, you had Chivas and Johnston playing. You knew what great goaltenders were coming in. So you knew your goalie had to be exceptionally good to prevent these teams from winning. Now, Tuukka has failed year after year. The only year we won the Cup was because of Tim Thomas. He had to replace Tuukka. Tuukka failed. Now, Tuukka dumped against Philadelphia when we were up 3-0. Okay. Then he dumped against Chicago. Then he's in series and he can't come because he has intestinal distress. Right? These old time goalies played with terrible gear. They were bruised. They had
no. Hey, Brian, you made a good point. It's like Cheevers never got diarrhea.
Huh?
Huh? No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how does Rask always have a bellyache? And these guys in the old days played every night. They never got belly aches in the old days?
Oh, no, sure they did. Yeah, but my guess is they probably just drank more. If I had to guess. So why do I feel like the Bruins fans today have been like the segment that also watches the Red Sox?
Like, there's some old timers there. Phoenix Copley.
Yeah, Phoenix Copley, yeah. And he spells Phoenix E-O, not O-E.
Oh, what, this wanker. Watch this guy come in and beat the Bruins.
Yeah. So I wondered the other night, because wasn't there a...
Phoenix Copley.
There was a sequence where Anderson got hurt, right? And then I thought, oh my God, do they have to bring the guy out of the stands to play? Don't you have the emergency guy in the stands?
Yeah.
Like the other night?
I think so, yeah.
They do that during the playoffs too, right?
I guess.
Oh, they brought up another goalie from the AHL, Zach Fucale.
Okay, so you're about to get Fucale'd right out of this series.
Can I say that on the air?
Jared in Connecticut. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, to just reiterate what those people are talking about with Swayman. I mean, the Bruins, Tuukka has failed for years and years and years. He's been a good regular season performer, great performer in a regular season. But when it comes to the big games, he does not get the job done. The fans want a change, and when you, I know for me, when you watch Swayman, you have that great positive feeling that something great's going to happen. Mm. He has the confidence. He has that young blood that he doesn't have the fear of losing all those games that Tuukka lost, those big games.
Mm. I'm, you know, Jared, I'm with you. What are you saying over there?
I'm saying because he hasn't played enough for you to hate him yet. That's all. Again, everybody loves, and I'm not telling you the kid's not good. I like the kid, too. I feel the same way. But I'm telling you, the more we watch him, we're going to start seeing stuff and hate him, too.
But that thing that he said about Rask, like the past failures, and I don't think Rask is weighed down by past failures. I don't think he's weighed down by anything. Like, that's sort of the thing. I don't think like he feels the pressure of the young kid behind him. I don't think he feels the pressure of past failures. I don't think he feels the pressure to win a Stanley Cup. I don't feel he will be defined by it. He feels he will be defined by it. I define him by it, but he won't define himself by it. He's happy with his career. He's happy where he's at, and he's just going along with it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any. I don't think anything penetrates that bubble.
So that might be true. I just feel like that guy's characterization is a little taking it too far the other way. And that, you know, I'm not telling you they won it. But in 2019, he was dynamite.
Until he wasn't.
For the first three rounds.
He wasn't that great in the finals. That's right.
He was dynamite for the first three rounds.
He was.
That's the best I've ever seen him play. So to say, like, you can't win with him, I don't know if that's right either.
No, you can.
No, you can win-ish with
him.
No,
you can win.
You'd like to see it.
Yeah, you will win with him. I need to see it. That fella needs a Stanley Cup. Jesse in Weymouth. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, just a quick thought about the Bruins defense. Maz, you said earlier about you think Jeremy Lauzon out's a big thing. I remember last year they put Clifton in for Lauzon in the bubble, and I just personally think Clifton's a better defenseman. He moves the puck better. And Lauzon, his foot speed's like very, very bad in position on the back end.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. I think one of the things we said is I like that Clifton's a better puck mover, so they will gain there. And that pairing, I think, had trouble getting the puck out of the zone. Okay, so, like, that's a significant thing. But size-wise, Clifton's at a – and he's tough. Clifton's tough, but he's at a major disadvantage in this series.
Ron in Texas wants to talk hockey. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. Because I've been noticing for the last few years with Krejci on the second line there, it seems like the game plan into these playoff games is to kind of just clamp down on Krejci to make – and he tries to force the puck – into the offensive zone a lot and creates a lot of turnovers. It looks like Hall kind of caught on to that and started dumping the puck. But it looks like most of the playoff teams against us defensively just crashed the center on all of our it just seemed like our strategy is going forward with that. We have to make an adjustment on that.
I don't know how you adjust from it. They're going to go after Krejci. So what do you keep Krejci on the bench? Tell him to skate into the corner and be like away from the, like just stay in the other zone? Like how do you... What's your game plan there?
Yeah, and I don't think it's as simple as just crashing the center. You get physical with Krejci, no two ways about it. That's what you do.
And there's nothing he can do about it, or you can do about it. I don't think. It's up to him to just stand up to the punishment.
Yeah, and they have big guys, so they're going to jam the middle of the ice, particularly in their zone I'm talking about now, in the Washington zone. You're going to have trouble getting in there, and the center's going to get squeezed out. More than anybody, he's going to get pushed out of there. Like, that. This is... To me, they got to find a way to get bodies in there.
Krejci in the second period, despite getting his bell rung by Ovechkin and that thunderous hit, still set up Brad Marchand for what should have been a great scoring chance. In alone on his backhand, he put it over the bar. So, like, that's what they need from Krejci. Take the hit, get up, make the play. And, you know, Patrick Kane won 3 Stanley Cups in Chicago, and he never hit a fly. And he took – the teams targeted him, too. So how do they figure it out?
They got to get space for Krejci and for Pasternak, and I would say to a degree Marchand. Those guys need space. That's when they play their best. If they don't have space, they're, you know, they're not as valuable. Danny, not anywhere near as valuable.
Danny in Boston, hi.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys talked about it early in the show, so I apologize if you did, but did anybody see when Anderson essentially pushed the net off the mooring himself or wasn't touched by a... I mean, why is that not a call? And that's delay a game, clearly, and they didn't even review it.
Well, there's no review there, man.
Got away with one there, though.
Definitely. He was brushed by Chara, and he let it happen. He fell ass over tea kettle into the net. I think the Bees were on the power play, too.
Yeah, and Pasternak fired it in the net, remember?
It was Marchand, I thought, who did. But someone did. And, it's cheesy. Yeah, maybe it was Pasternak, now that I'm looking at it. Whoa, whatever. It was cheesy. They got away with one. Yep. Is that why you lost?
No.
Okay, so let's stop with that, shall we? Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scene.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adult is talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair
Nobody,
Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody. Well, as we all know, news and information comes faster than ever nowadays. A story posts, it's ready to be consumed with the click of a button. But not to one Mike Felger. No.
That.
See, the news is not ready to be digested until it can be held. And it stains your hands.
I mean, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You still read Howie Carr?
Occasionally, not always.
Oh, I do. Every day. Every time. I think he's on Sunday and then twice during the week, I think. I forget the days. But I still get the Herald delivered at home.
Yeah, I'll occasionally read them at bostonherald.com.
F that. That's a guy you read in the freaking newspaper.
Yeah, no, I'm online.
Okay?
And I don't get the paper at home anymore.
Oh, that is so gross.
Well,
I'm a former newspaper guy.
Yeah, no, I don't. Because, again, well, first of all, the delivery on it sucks. I don't get anything up to date, but I do read the e-paper online as opposed to...
Because you just want to play with another app on your phone.
Well, no, because the e-paper actually tells you what the front page looks like, so there's news judgment there, things like that.
Why don't you
Whereas
both...
the web is just one big freaking stew.
Why don't you both shut the hell up so we can replay what this
you
whole thing
up.
Was about earlier.
All right, go.
Go
Meanwhile, I know this posted on Friday, but you know me...
Until you can hold it, it ain't real.
I want the. Can I still just read the newspaper?
I got to put that on a T-shirt. Until you can hold it, it ain't real.
I mean, but seriously, it's so annoying. Can we just wait for one thing to read in the newspaper? Just slow down for one. Pull your head up from your effing phone for 1 second, and just read something in the newspaper. So, like. I wait to Sunday to read Shaughnessy's column.
Yeah, the paper.
I know it posts online on Friday, but I want to read it in the newspaper. Is that okay? Or is that, am I just...
No, if you want to be left behind, I think it's okay.
Well, I
get whatever the hell you want. I don't really give a rat's.
Because this thing came out on Friday, and now I'm 3 days late to it. But I wanted to read it in the newspaper, and I wanted to highlight it like I must be the last effing guy that does this, that reads newspapers and highlights things and bring it in. Like I'm Jerry Trupiano.
No, you and Belichick. Though.
I mean, seriously, like I might be the last guy that effing does this. And I don't know why you're so dismissive. You're a newspaper guy, Maz. That should mean something to you that you want to read someone in the newspaper.
Yeah, but you know how he feels about his apps and tech.
I read it online.
It's so true.
Do you know what an e-paper is?
Oh, the e-paper can kiss the inside of my ass.
I love the e-paper.
Oh, my God. Please, just for once, get off your phone. I'm not yelling at you necessarily.
No, yell at me. I don't care. I'm still doing it.
Get off your phone for a second.
I love the e-paper. I don't like the e-cigarette though.
So one thing I will agree with you with that's close to this is I like a book. Like I have a Kindle, yes. But I don't love the Kindle. I like a real book.
Of course, that I agree with. Yes, of course. It's the same principle. It's the same principle. Anyway, enough of that. What do you got coming up on the baseball hour, Anthony?
Oh, we got a lot to get to. Red Sox blow a game yesterday. They should have won, could have won, should have won. Really one of the few heartbreakers they've had this year. So we'll talk about Matt Barnes. We will talk about Xander Bogaerts, Bobby Dalbec, and Shohei Ohtani. We get a full show.
Okay. Tonight, Bruins on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Puck drop at 7:30. If you're watching on TV, click on over for post-game action there on NBC Sports Boston. Tony Amonte will be joining Holly and I right when the Bruins game is over. So that's what you do tonight. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 to talk about everything. We'll see you guys then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.